and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to take a trip down memory lane, and I'm going to focus for my intro to my sermon on the cheesy commercials of the 1970s. When I grew up, unless you had rabbit ears attached to your TV, at least in the Philadelphia area, you got four VHF channels, 3, 6, 10, and 12. They were NBC, ABC, CBS, and PBS. And then your UHF channels were 17, 29, 39, 48, and 69. I'm going to pick on the UHF channels. They had the cheesiest commercials. Ronco Presents. They championed the Chia Pet and the Ginsu knife, which could cut through aluminum soda cans, and they demonstrated in the commercial. They promised the 30-day money-back guarantee, and if you're not completely satisfied, you would get all your money back, so the commercial said. And then they said, this offer ends at midnight tonight. And that same announcement was for 2 weeks, which begged the question, which midnight are you talking about? Well, any guarantee is an assurance of quality or the length of use of a product that it was guaranteed for this amount of time. But of course, in any guarantee, it's tied to the reputation, the character, and the worthiness of the person making that promise. And you and I know, as well as anyone else, in any business contract, you can have greater trust in this guy as opposed to this individual because of their track record. This morning, I'm going to talk about two assurances that Jesus is the guarantee of a better covenant. First reason that Jesus is the guarantee of a better covenant is the power of his indestructible life. Jesus truly died, but he didn't remain dead. He rose again on the third day. Hebrews 7, 15 and 16 says this, and this is clearer still, if another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become such not on the basis of a law of physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life. When Hebrews 7, 16 speaks of Jesus' priesthood according to the power of an indestructible life, it is hinting at and speaking of the resurrection. In contrast to Christ's priesthood, the Old Testament priests died, and their death prevented them from having a continuing and permanent priesthood. The author repeats this theme in Hebrews 7, 23 and 24, where he says, the former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater number because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Jesus' priesthood is permanent and eternal due to this indestructible life, which is an affirmation of Christ's resurrection and his ascension into glory. In this passage, God condescends to our weakness, specifically the weakness of our faith in God, because he makes an oath in Psalm 110, which is repeated twice in this passage. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So Hebrews in this passage is connecting the dots that Jesus is the fulfillment of Psalm 110:4. Building on this theme of God's faithfulness to his word about this eternal priest, the author goes on to say that Jesus is the guarantee of a better covenant in Hebrews 7:22. The word guarantee could also be translated with the somewhat unfamiliar word surety. The word surety means a state of being sure, such as certainty and assurance. It's a formal engagement, such as a pledge given for the fulfillment of an undertaking, a guarantee. the basis of confidence and security. One who is legally liable for the debt, default, or failure in the duty of another. And so Jesus is our guarantee of a better covenant, because neither we nor the Old Testament priest could permanently and perfectly make atonement for our sins. And so Jesus is the guarantee. This is another expression of God's mercy as he assures us that Jesus is our high priest and he can be trusted. And it's there that there's a great division between our guarantees and God's guarantee. Ours are iffy. Can we really follow through on what we're, quote, guaranteeing? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But with God, it's always yes and amen in Jesus Christ, because everything he promises, he fulfills. The author of this book also says in Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. The Lord Jesus is able to save us completely, to save us to the uttermost. His once and for all sacrifice, his permanent and eternal priesthood, guarantees that he will save us completely. And so you and I can have this assurance. As the Apostle Paul has said elsewhere, those God has justified, he will also glorify. That's not only past salvation and present salvation, but future salvation. He is the guarantee that our salvation is complete to the uttermost. The efficacy of our salvation rests on the triumph of Christ conquering sin and death by his resurrection. Another guarantee that Christ is the guarantee of a better covenant is the holiness of Christ's life. Hebrews 7:26 and 27 says this, for it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens, who does not daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because he did this once for all when he offered up himself. In this verse, the author is intent to show how Jesus is distinct in his purity. Elsewhere in this book, the author shows the importance of Christ's solidarity with sinners and his identification with us in undergoing temptation. Hebrews 4:14-15 has already affirmed Christ's sinlessness with these words, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. It is absolutely imperative and necessary that Jesus was without sin to be qualified to enter into the heavenly and holy sanctuary on our behalf in his ascension. The absolute unstained character of Christ in all his life, from his thoughts, words, deeds, motivations, and priority, is further confirmation of his competence to mediate between God and man. While the Old Testament priests were sinners, Jesus Christ is pure and holy, innocent, undefiled, set apart from sinners. These adjectives describe Christ's purity as our high priest. And so when we speak of Christ's sinlessness, we are zeroing in on the wonder of how someone human could be without sin. The old saying, to err is human, is certainly true, but that has one exception. Jesus Christ never erred from doing God's will. God can neither sin nor tempt anyone to sin, as the book of James tells us in the first chapter. But in the Lord Jesus, we have one who was fully divine, fully human, yet without any stain of sin. This is more than our minds can comprehend, because all we know as humans is that we are prone to err. As the hymn that we sang said, prone to leave the God we love. And so we know nothing about someone who is without moral fault or stain of sin. In fact, one of the accusations that the Jewish religious leaders made against Jesus was that the Lord associated with and ate with tax collectors and sinners. This accusation is leveled against Jesus a number of times, as recorded in the Gospels. The reasoning of these religious leaders went like this: if you associate with someone, you either condone their behavior or you are influenced by their behavior. As we say, one rotten apple spoils the bunch. While the tendency for us to be like that is a common trap, the one who that is not true of is the Lord Jesus. He is separate from sinners. This separation is not a physical separation from us. He was with us. He associated with us. And yet, without ever copying our sins. As fallen sinners, we are born with a sin nature, and we have the unfortunate habit of being negatively influenced by those around us. Even if we tried to physically stay away from all evil influences, which is impossible, we would still have to deal with the sin in our own hearts. So even if we went into solitary confinement, we would have ways of tempting ourselves, and sin would remain with us. And so Jesus Christ's separateness from sin is not speaking of him being physically aloof from us, but instead he dwelt among us and yet remained without sin. He is able to sympathize with sinners, yet not once did he commit sin. He always did that which pleased the Father. It was not only necessary for Christ to suffer on the cross to be punished for our sins, he also had to live a life in perfect obedience to the Father, which was required for our salvation. This requirement of perfect holiness is met in Christ and Christ alone, for he alone is the sinless one. He is more than mere man. He is the divine Son of God, and through his complete obedience to the Father and his victorious conquest of every temptation, he has become the source of eternal salvation for us who trust in him. Hebrews 7:26 says that this Jesus is exalted above the heavens. These words embrace the reality of Christ's resurrection, ascension, and glorification in heaven. Philip Hughes says in his commentary about this phrase, "This scene portrays the supreme perfection of our ever-living high priest in the sanctuary above." And so Jesus passed through the heavens and was welcomed into glory. The truth of Christ's heavenly glory is that he guarantees to us as our high priest the reality of his person and work. For it assures us that Jesus is not just a figure of the past, but also of the present and future, and indeed into eternity. And so because he passed through the heavens and is seated at the right hand of God, we who trust in him will pass through the heavens and be in the presence of God because what Christ has done for us. Hebrews 7:28 speaks of the Lord Jesus offering of himself once for all. When Christ, our high priest, offered sacrifice, he did this once for all. This all-important affirmation attests to the eternal completeness and efficacy of Christ's death. It also attests to the temporary and inadequacy of the Old Testament sacrifices. The advent of what is final and eternal leaves no further place for what was temporary and inadequate. And so the writer of this epistle is writing to Jewish Christians who may be tempted to avoid persecution, to deny Christ, and go back to Judaism without Christ. And the writer is saying, don't do it. He is the once and for all. If you turn your back on the once for all death, there remains no sacrifice for your sins. That's a pivotal moment in history. Do not deny its efficacy and truth just to avoid persecution and pain. The contrast between Christ's once and for all sacrifice of himself and the Levitical sacrifice repeated over and over again is stark in its contrast to show that Christ's sacrifice was done by himself and it suffices for all eternity. The theme and the idea that Jesus is the guarantee of a better and final covenant is God graciously urging us to trust in him because he is worthy of our trust. He condescended to our weakness and our sinful condition, and not only providing for us to be forgiven of our sins and restored to peace with God, he has also given us weighty reasons for this hope, this assurance, this guarantee. His work of saving us is real. And Christ is sinless, and he has risen, conquering sin and death. He conquered sin by his total perfect obedience to the Father's will. He conquered death by his resurrection. And he calls to us of this once and for all sacrifice, this once and perfect sinless life, to trust in him. He is the guarantee, and he urges us to trust and rely on him alone for our salvation. There is no other way. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, strengthen all your faithful people to trust in you and your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to rely on Christ and his saving mercy through his death and resurrection. Help us also to trust in your promises, to follow your commandments, and to believe in the teachings of your holy word. These things we beg through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we close our